We are pressing on tonight in our study of the Larger Catechism, and we are asking the question that we asked last Lord's Day in the evening regarding the Christian and the media. Why in the world did the brethren in the Westminster Assembly condemn the stage or theater as a breach of the seventh commandment? So we examined the question from some angles already, defining what the media is, and we basically have come down to it is not whereby we get our news necessarily, but it is especially referring to entertainment, amusement. We looked at the scriptures, and we will look at the scriptures further on the matter. And then we looked at secular authorities, and there is a tremendous number of secular authorities in among the Greeks and the Romans who spoke very clearly against the stage. And then we went right on up to the time of the early church. And we looked at several of the church fathers on the matter, consistent testimony. So we will pick up there where we left off with the early church. Now, there were 8 councils of the church from A.D. 305 to the year 692. During that period, all of those 8 church councils all condemned everything belonging to theatrical plays. And why? We're going to ask the question, why then is all this condemnation? Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the monks from the 12th century, Luther said if there was ever a holy monk, it was Bernard. And Bernard said, all true soldiers of Christ reject and abominate stage plays. Wow. So I am quoting from the great theologian of the Southern Presbyterian Church, Dr. William Swan Plumer. He was the teacher of theology for 8 years in the Pittsburgh Seminary for the Northern Presbyterian Church. But he spent his last 13 years teaching theology in the Southern Presbyterian Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. And Brother Plumer quotes the Archbishop James Usher from the 1600s, the Episcopalian Archbishop. He wrote that stage plays breach the seventh commandment, and they that attend such things demonstrate their neglect of Christian duty. Now, the Archbishop of Canterbury, at the same time, in the 1690s, the Archbishop of Canterbury's name was John Tillotson. And he wrote, "The playhouse is the devil's chapel, a nursery of licentiousness. It ought not to be allowed among civilized people, much less among Christian people." And in the 16th century, there was a synod at Rochelle, France, and that synod voted unanimously to admonish congregations and their ministers to suppress all theaters. And it is not lawful for any Christian to be an actor or to be present at a comedy, a tragedy, or a play of any kind. Wow. Now, we know that the church has taken a stand against the theater from the early church onward, even to the mid-20th century. And I'm going to change now from what we have been referring to And I'm going to refer strictly to one of the founders of our country, Dr. John Knox Witherspoon, who was the one of the founding fathers, great founding father, president of Princeton from 1768 all the way till the time he died in 1794. And Dr. Witherspoon is going to answer for us the question, why? Why all of this? Okay. So he gives us several points, and I'm just going to skim over his points. He gives a lot more points than this, but I'm just going to get the ones that are really stood out to me. So first of all, he said this. This I think we can identify from our own experience and where we are right now in America. He said, first of all, frequently seeing sins committed, especially terrible sins committed, makes us view them without shock to our emotions. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, he did not refer to this, but it certainly reminded me of the scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now, I would say this from my own experience, that frequently seeing terrible sins committed makes us view them without shock to our emotions. We become less sensitive and more accepting of evil because we are literally desensitized by the entertainment media. It is the very nature of that entertainment media to desensitize us. Now, I'm going to show you this. I can't help but remember sometime between my third grade and fifth grade year, sometime in that period, one of my playmates' parents were divorced and the home was broken up. Now, that was, you know, a good 55 years ago. And it was scandalous in the neighborhood that this couple had broken up their home and they were divorced because it was a thing I had never heard of. And it was devastating to my young mind. But now, especially through the influence of the media, divorce, a crime against God's holy purpose and holy law, is almost considered as the norm in our society. It doesn't shock us anymore. It literally shocked me as a child that my playmates, mom and dad, were forgetting each other and they didn't want to have anything to do with each other. The home was breaking up and my playmates' life would be forever changed on this earth. It devastated a little elementary student. And I never forgot it. Now let's go a little farther. Now, it doesn't shock us anymore. So many thousands of murders have been watched being committed on stage, in movies, and on television, that now many of our fellow Americans are not shocked at all that babies are being murdered by ripping them apart in America one every 30 seconds. I invite you to go online and go to the site, the number of abortions being carried out. The number of abortions. Go to that site. And you will be shocked. Thankfully, you're not going to see it happen, but you're watching the numbers. Click, click, click. Just in America, during the first 16 hours of this Lord's Day, in America alone, 1,570 babies were murdered. But why do those murders not
move our society to rise up, because there has been a conditioning process that has been going on in our nation for so long through the media that murder, murder, murder is normal. So get used to it. Okay. So that is the first thing that our brother Dr. Witherspoon points out, that we are desensitized by watching evil things done as we sit idly by. Number two, to sit idly by watching and hearing sinners for hours upon end is corrupting. Listening to foul speech, watching tempting immoral scenes passively is ruinous to the soul. What about God's Word? What about what God says? Psalm 101:3, the psalmist says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. One of the modern versions simply says this: bad company ruins good morals. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119 verse 15. The psalmist says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Of course, we have to go to and among the ungodly to win them. But we are not there to be entertained. We have to be careful. But evil communications corrupt good manners. To sit idly by and to watch wickedness in whatever form of media, whether it's television, movies, online, whatever, to sit idly by and just watch wickedness is ruinous to the soul. Bad company ruins good morals. Now, we have to even be careful in the study of history. We have to be careful even in the study of history. I've had sitting on one of my shelves at home in my study for many years the biography of Mary, Queen of Scots, and I've never read it. I have no intention to read it. I have no desire to read it. And why is it there if I ever need to refer to it? But believe me, I know that she was a very wicked woman. And I have no desire to delve into that sordid history of that woman's life. Now, I think it is very evil for a woman in our time to publish one book after another among the Christian community. The first one she published, I'll not call her name. I'll spare her that. But you can definitely see it online and in some of the glossy book catalogs that come out. She wrote the first one, Bad Girls of the Bible. And then with these covers, with these very subtle temptresses pictured on her books, she wrote the second one, The Really Bad Girls of the Bible. And then she did another one, The Slightly Bad Girls of the Bible. Now, that is not a good way to approach Bible study. To set Scripture, even where women have failed and have been wicked, to just set it all in the very mode of temptation. How bad. So the second thing was that it is ruinous to our morals to just sit and drink in filth. We know that. The third thing Dr. Witherspoon declared is there may be some wholesome presentations on the stage, but most of the stage productions will be bad and polluting because the bulk of the population loves sin and they want their kind of entertainment.
These are the words of Dr. Witherspoon. He says, there may be some wholesome presentations, but the most of stage productions will be bad and polluting because the bulk of the population loves sin and they want their kind of entertainment. Now he makes a therefore. Therefore, to attend the stage and to contribute to it monetarily makes a Christian partaker of other men's sins and makes the Christian guilty of seducing others by helping keep the stage in operation. Remember, he says, stage entertainment is not essential for human life and happiness. That didn't come from Bob Jones, my alma mater. That came from one of the founders of our country. He says that as a Christian, going and partaking in this makes one a partaker of other men's sins and guilty of seducing others by helping keeping the stage in operation. So, we leave that one. Number four, it is also supporting the actors and players. And he has no good things to say about Dean Jones and others. That might come from Decatur. He says it is also supporting the actors and players. It is a sordid profession. Their character has been infamous in all ages of history as a living copy of the vanity, the obscenity, and the irreligion of the stage. Number five, men of good character going occasionally to the theater emboldens others. It emboldens both those who otherwise might not dare to attend, and it even encourages those who enjoy the very evil shows to continue unabated in their evil way. The matter of influence. Number six, it is a sinful waste of precious time. Dr. Witherspoon notes that we all need a proper diet, we all need proper work, proper exercise, and proper rest. Our recreations should be just that. These are his words. He said, our recreations should be that which refresh us and enable us to be more fervent in our pursuit of Christ and conformity to Him. Now, how about that? Our recreations, what we do just to get some relaxation, should be that which will like charge our batteries and re-energize us so that we can more zealously pursue Christ in conformity to Him. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, he quoted this, redeeming the time for the days are evil. We are accountable to God. I'm still on Dr. Witherspoon. We are accountable to God for how we use our time, our talent, and our money. A Christian given over to perpetual amusement is a misnomer. I'm convicted. A Christian given over to perpetual amusement is a misnomer. A true Christian's supreme desire is the Lord and growing progressively in sanctification. What did the psalmist say? The psalmist said in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. There is nothing that so consumes my life, the psalmist said, as getting to know thee better and communing with thee. Philippians, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. Paul in Philippians, where we started tonight, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark
for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I leave our dear brother who is rejoicing with the Lamb tonight, Dr. Witherspoon, and go to another departed brother. More recent times, a dear brother who went to be with Christ in 1983, Dr. Johannes Voss. He was trained at Princeton, where his father was a teacher. Dr. Gerhardus Voss of Princeton fame. And he was himself a Bible teacher, a college Bible teacher, Dr. Johannes. And he wrote his commentary on the larger catechism. And he says this. I'll give you what Dr. Voss says. Most commercial motion pictures as they exist today are bad in their effect, especially upon young people. For this reason, many earnest Christian people feel that they should totally abstain from attending motion picture theaters at all times and under all circumstances. As this decision is conscientiously made as a matter of Christian duty and devotion to God, it should, of course, be respected by all Christian people, even those who disagree. Now, he went on to say, Christian people should always pay heed to the teaching of God's word about such questionable things as this thing, as this matter. We must always be willing to deny ourselves some pleasures of life rather than to cause our brother to stumble. And then, regarding the motion pictures, what is said about that applies equally, if not in greater force, to much of what is offered on primetime television. Now, we had an interesting background in Decatur, Alabama, because God brought a man here and did a great work in the 30s and 40s. Dr. John Cowell, a Central Baptist church in Decatur, used to go on Sunday afternoons to pass out tracts in front of the Prince's Theater. He was there especially to see who from his congregation was in attendance. And after 2 years as pastor, Dr. Cowell could say, after 2 years, now no deacon, Sunday school worker, choir member, dances, uses playing cards, or attends movies. They have all come clean for God. Now, I share that because our forefathers had some very strong convictions. I said that this conviction seems to have died out about the middle of the 20th century among most professing Christians. And I think, as I've just tried to reflect, when I was a little boy, I remember one time going to the Prince's for an afternoon show. I think it was the Three Stooges, or maybe Swiss Family Robinson. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I went with a neighbor, and I may have actually asked permission from my folks with a false alibi of where we were going. Because I remember the whole time I was sitting there, knowing the convictions that my father had as a follower of Dr. Cowell, I was guilty the whole time I was sitting there. So I think there was a real reason for that sense of guilt, not just to fully enjoy the picture while I was there. But now I do enjoy going there for concerts. Music concerts, decent music concerts. So anyway, we have come to the end of our study here on the matter of the media. So what would I say to us as Christians? What is the Christian to do with entertainment media? We are to use it in a godly manner. Christian movies, biographies, teaching videos, we are to use, and history with discernment. Sports, but not in excess. Remember the saying, so little time and so many books. Guard your heart. Spend your time growing. Recreation time
should be just that. Recharging to enable us to be able to say from the heart, more love to Thee, O Christ. More love to Thee.